Good morning. It is such a privilege to be in your presence, whether here with you in person in the sanctuary or with you in your home as you worship with us online. What an honor and privilege it is to be together. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I am Reverend Corrine Borup, and again, it is a privilege to be here. Worshiping, leading us in worship today, joining me will be Allie Hall, Dick Falkenberry, Ron McNabney. Our communion servers will be Matt and Susan Doe, and also Candy Short and a partner. I'm not sure who that is, but thank you. Much appreciated. Our music that will be leading us in worship today will be the Wesley Chorale, and we are grateful to have them with us. I have a correction and an apology. The warm thank you that I offered for those that served in our warming center, our overnight warming center, as that was being offered between the 14th and the 22nd of January. Two names were left out. There were actually 22 that volunteered. Eddie and Tammy Stevens also had volunteered, and that was completely my mistake. Just an error on my part. So please make sure you say thank you to them as well. The young adult group will be meeting today. It sounds fun. They are having a build your own pizza party. And so for all the young adults, be sure to join Allie upstairs in the young adult room. Joy Lunch is coming. You'll want to register your attendance with us. Joy Lunch is Friday, February 6th. February. We are in February. Thank you. February 16th. So it's not too late to register. The 14th is the deadline for those registrations, and you pay when you arrive. All are welcome to join us. Lent begins with our Ash Wednesday service, which is on Valentine's Day. Coming up very shortly, February 14th, we will have a service at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, a service of ashes. Invite you to celebrate with your Valentine earlier in the day and join us at 7 p.m. that evening. There are many opportunities, ministry opportunities, as well as just information at the Welcome Center and also online at the website. Invite you to stay connected and keep yourself and others informed of all that we have going on in the life of the church. Invite you now to stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
As you return to your seats, I invite us to center our hearts for worship with the music from Susan Finger. Let us stand together for our call to worship and opening hymn. Welcome, friend and stranger. Welcome, honored guests. We gather as a community to worship God. We are a community formed by the goodness of God. We gather to be reminded of God's call to be a part of that goodness.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment. This will also be the opportunity to get your worship kit for today. All right, guys. So Ian, why don't you open up our bag? Because I've got a little magic trick today. And this reminds me of the only magic trick I can do. You knew it was something puffy. What is it? A coat. You know what I can do? When it gets cold, I can turn into a great big baby. A great big baby. It's the only thing I can do. It's the only magic I could do. As soon as that temperature drops below 50, my attitude hits 100. I do not like the cold at all. And if it weren't for this coat, I would hibernate all year long. It would just make me so crabby. And we are starting a new series this month called Unshakable. And we're going to be learning about the fact that I and you and we are secure because of God. God is in control. That's what we're really going to be focusing about. And this coat is kind of like God, right? If I just had to be outside when I was scraping my car this morning and I just had on this sweater, would not have been a pretty conversation, not a pretty look. I would have been very, very crabby. But I put on this coat. The rest of the world was kind of blocked out because it's puffy, right? It's puffy and it's warm, and it kind of kept me shielded from the elements, from the world around me. And that's what God does for us. God keeps us shielded and protected and controls the things that are going on around us so that we can manage them a little bit better. So that's what we're going to be learning about all month long at First Kids on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And in that bucket right there is our worship kits. So we're going to head over there now and then head back to our seats and learn a little bit more about the communion and then security this month. Okay, let's go.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to say a few words about our security ministry team. We have 7 members, and our responsibility is to keep everyone safe anytime there's a church activity. The security team members are Bonnie Belangi, a retired nurse. We're fortunate to have Bonnie on our security team. There have been a few injuries that she's had to take care of here lately, and she also keeps our medical supplies up to date. Ann Bull, our animal expert, and also our specialist on housekeeping and organization. Juanita Slattery is our security matriarch. She has been working in security longer than anyone, and we rely heavily on her experience. Andre Streety has been with us about 3 years and is very good at working security. He is friendly and he knows everyone's name. And Andre is greatly respected by the Anderson First United Methodist Church congregation. Joe Snyder. Joe brings a great deal of experience to our security team. Joe's been involved in several church activities and usually is the chairperson. Cameron Mendel. He is a public school teacher and a high school coach. Cameron gives us a connection to the younger members of our congregation. Myself, I've been on security almost 7 years, and I've been the security coordinator for 5 years. My responsibilities include scheduling security time and hours each month, making sure there is a security person at each unlocked entrance for each church activity, arranging security for any activity that takes place after office hours or that might be necessary during the weekdays, such as a funeral. To help us keep everyone safe, we have had some group training. The Anderson Police Department gave us active shooter training. We've had a defibrillator training by one of our own medical workers, Maria Falkenberry. We've had stop the bleeding training by a local medical team. A few years ago, we had a new signage project, which we tried to identify as many locations inside the building as possible. In addition to that, we assigned a number to all of our exterior doors. After updating each floor of the building and up-to-date floor plans, we sent copies to the Anderson Fire Department. If we do have an emergency, we can pinpoint the location to them. No one is more important to us than our children. In each of the four rooms used by our kids is a security calendar telling them who is working security at any given time and also how to contact them. We are about to receive a new defibrillator for the children's area downstairs. Bonnie, Juanita, and the community hospital, along with Eli Lilly, participated in getting this defibrillator. And we are continuing to work towards getting one for Davis Park. Thank you. Let us pray. God, whose giving knows no ending, we know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now, we say thank you as we give. In our giving, hear our heartfelt gratitude for all that you are and all that we have. Bless these gifts for your mission in the world. Amen.
My heart to sing thy grace. Good morning. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we come to you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and dreams of our lives. May we be open to your voice in our lives that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us to go. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us as your body. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, those who are in pain, those who are ill, and those who grieve. May we touch their lives not only through our prayers, but through our lives and our actions as well. Guide us, bless us, uplift us, and hold us. For we are your children called to our purpose in your world. Hear our prayers, those spoken and those hidden in our hearts. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus. He went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil-afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the demons. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Without any other mode of transportation available to him, he had to walk everywhere, day and night. He would walk in rain or shine, hot or cold, it didn't matter. That was the way he got around. He was homeless. He had no income. He had no four walls of his own. He simply depended on the kindness and the mercy of others for his food, his shelter, for his friendships. And some of his friends were just like him, but not all of them. The first question that comes to mind about someone who's homeless is why? How did they get that way, right? Well, this particular person, the one reason, one of the probably multitude of reasons, one of the reasons was his hometown conspired to kill him. And so he left. Now, we have many stories. We have this story in Scripture, and we understand about this homeless. I have begun to be more and more aware that this kind of story just follows through Anderson. There's many, many examples of that in the state of Indiana and throughout our nation. This story echoes true. No mode of transportation. Had to walk everywhere, homeless, no income whatsoever, depending on the mercies of others for shelter and food and friendships. Folks, I just described Jesus Christ. He tells us in Matthew 8, verse 20, he says, "Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man, Jesus, has no place to lay his head." He was truly homeless. So how did he create community? We're talking about community today. How did that happen? He had no place to go. We hear in Mark 1, our verses this morning, beginning with 29, that he went to Peter's house. Doesn't give the name of the town, but we know that that would be Capernaum. That's where Peter lived. It's a beautiful spot in Galilee area in Israel, and you can look out from Capernaum and see the Sea of Galilee below you. It's a beautiful place. It's not inhabited anymore. But Capernaum is where he went. And this very short verse in Mark ends with him saying, we need to now go to all the other villages. Jesus was itinerant, which means he traveled to teach. And we know through the Gospels that he probably went to about 12 different villages in his time to preach and teach and interact with people. And that didn't include Capernaum, and it also did not include Jerusalem. So those other places, and scholars tell us through reading the Gospels and trying to map out how far these places were and how Jesus moved about throughout Israel, that during his 3 years of ministry that he probably moved about 3,100 miles in 3 years. Throughout his lifetime, which does include his escape with his parents at a very young age to Egypt and back. And again, remember, his mode of transportation was walking. In his lifetime, he probably walked 22,000 miles. This was someone who did not stay in one place. So how in the world do you build community? Well, one of those definitions of community, the one that I think rings true, rings for all of us in our own ears, is the definition that says a community are the people that are in the same place. Well, this place where we have Jesus at today, according to the Gospel of Mark, is Capernaum. Capernaum historically claimed Jesus as their own. He probably stayed in Capernaum as a guest at Peter's house more frequently than he stayed anywhere else consistently. And so it is dubbed. They actually have a sign there as you enter the gate going into the ruins of Capernaum that say Jesus' hometown. They wanted him. They called him in. Capernaum had owned Jesus as a part of who they were. They made him a part of the community. And we see in this short verse what happened in that community. One, we have Peter and his mother-in-law taking him into their home. In Capernaum, it's very interesting because the ruins there, archaeological ruins that tell us, yeah, it probably was the home where Jesus would have stayed. It's not like our homes where everything is enclosed and you have the kitchen in one part and you have the bedrooms and the living room and the private facilities for the restrooms and that kind of thing. That's not what the homes were like. Basically, the home enclosure was to sleep. Everything else was done out in the courtyard that you shared with your neighbors. But the place that was Peter's house, and our scripture calls him Simon, and by the way, that is the Jewish name for our Peter. Peter's the Greek name, which literally means the rock. So Jesus did refer to Peter as the rock, gave him that name later on in scripture. But in this home, as in every place in Israel, a church is built over it. So as soon as you go into the gate, you can see the church ahead of you. It's a round church, and the floor in the church is glass. And you can look down into what is the remains of Peter's home that Jesus would have slept in. And there he had gathered. And the people of the community brought their friends and their family with them. And they crowded around. And this is the place where it was so crowded that the friends of a man who could not get to Jesus on his own lowered them through the ceiling. This was the place. Jesus had become a part of this community, this place. Even though he traveled throughout the country, traveled throughout Galilee, especially the northern part of Israel. And you know, we all need community. I thought it was very interesting that in preparing for this, that in Friday's newspaper, one of the headlines was, "Local man runs for Congress, vows to care about community." The first question asked was, well, it's going to care about me? What community is he caring about? Community is important to us, more vitally important than maybe many like to admit. There was a town that had taken this very seriously. They actually hired on people that they called community connectors. And they did this very intentionally. It kind of sounds like something we were very intentional about during COVID, to go online, also to send out our postcards as a way of staying connected with all of us who were in isolation during this time. But these are not necessarily COVID isolators, but people who were ill, in illness particularly. And as they worked at these community connectors, reaching out to those who were isolated because of illness, because what they had discovered was that isolation because of illness, the isolation itself made the illness worse. And so these community connectors found ways that people could be connected with other people. And the statistics showed that their emergency admissions into hospitals in that town decreased two-thirds of what it had been. It made a difference in people's lives. We are created to be connected to others. And we see that in our story. Offering compassion to one another. I mean, think about it. She was direly sick. And Jesus healed her. That's miraculous in itself. But the mother-in-law got up and prepared a meal for her guests. Now, folks, this isn't opening a box and stick it in the microwave and we're done, we're ready, right? Everything in a meal was from scratch. She cared that much about offering Jesus, a member of their community, the hospitality that she had to offer. He cared about those that were brought to him. Community makes a difference. And one of the things that I just, one quote that I've held on to since I've discovered it, it was by Eugene Peterson, and he said, "I am not myself by myself." Pretty powerful. I am not myself by myself. And while we have learned over and over again that community is important and vital to us, this time in our history in the United States, we are at the lowest as a nation for connecting in community groups, churches, charitable organizations. I'm aware of Rotary is one. All those organizations that people traditionally would connect to not just serve in their community, but to be connected in fellowship with one another, those memberships are lower and lower and lower. In fact, we are at the lowest we have ever been as far as connection to one another in community. It's important to us to be connected. I cannot be myself by myself. And Peterson went on to say that in that situation by myself, I cannot be a true follower of Jesus Christ by myself. I cannot mature spiritually by myself. I cannot have a full and vibrant life that God intended by myself. None of that can exist apart from Jesus Christ, because you see, there's a second definition to community, and it is the fellowship between those who share an attitude, an interest, a goal. And in the church, we would say, we share Jesus Christ. We in the United Methodist Church offer an open table. Why? Why don't we have rules that only certain people can come up? You have to attend worship so many Sundays. You have to have gone through so many classes. You have to do this. You have to do that. We don't. If you want to meet Jesus Christ, if you want to know Christ better, you come. That's being part of a community, being welcomed no matter what. That's when Christ is at the center. We are going to sing a hymn as we prepare for communion. Blessed be the tie that binds. But I want to share just a little bit before we sing that. Fawcett is the one that wrote the hymn. He was an orphan. And he was one of those outcasts, himself an outcast. And he just happened to win the favor of one pastor of a church. And when he shared with that pastor that he wanted to become a preacher too, the pastor took him under wing. But the established church wouldn't have anything to do with him, except to send him to a place where, and in their description, they were as dumb as turkeys, and no better off than a turkey belonging to a starving family. It's how they were described. They had all kind of vices. They cursed. They were unintelligent. They were pagan worshipers. That's where he was sent, to preach and teach the love of Jesus Christ. And he created a community so strong that they tripled the size of their church. They had to keep building on. And his own family grew, and he was offered a big church somewhere else. And as it made all kinds of sense to go, to actually be paid some money so that he could support his own family, because this group was a very, very poor group. And so he had accepted, and he decided not to go because of the community that they had built. He spent his entire ministry there, a ministry of 54 years with those people, his people, Christ's people. And he wrote this song about Christ's community, that Jesus Christ binds us into the community of faith. And that's who we welcome at Christ's table. Let us sing together, "Blessed be the tie that binds." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to the setting, your name is praised among all people. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven who forever sing its hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of the Spirit, you created all things, blessed them, and called them good. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return. Led us home. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time you came and dwelt among us, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing the table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, you did the same with the cup and said, Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of our faith, Christ has come among us, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, pour out your Spirit on us, pour out your Spirit on these gifts, pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body, alive in the world. Amen. Let us now pray together as the children, the community of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting in communion to come forward at this time. As they're coming forward, there will be two stations on the floor. It will be by intinction. You will receive a piece of the bread, dip the bread in the cup, and receive both the juice and the cup at the same time. Also, you may come to the table and also receive by intinction. There are also the communion prepackaged. If you would like to receive those at your seat, those are at each of the entrances to the sanctuary. Come, community of Christ. Christ's table is ready. day, this gift of resurrection, send us out into your world to be the presence of love and hope to all. Help us to be those community connectors that everyone may have life and live in your abundance. Alleluia. Amen. God's love fills our lives. From birth to death, we belong to this God who loves us and makes us one. Praise God.
Thank you.
invite you to stand for the benediction, and I'm going to ask that you just echo me. I am not myself. By myself. Go now knowing that you are a part of Christ's community now and always. Invite others in. Amen.